Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Damian Lillard continued to put the Blazers on his back last night as Portland locked up the eighth seed and a spot in the play-in matchup with a one-point win over the Nets. Dame had a game-high 42 points, 12 assists, and went 8 of 14 from beyond the arc, including a pull-up three from nearly half court. Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard is joining us this morning. Chris, good to have you. Dame, making things interesting for us on Undisputed. Could you please give us a letter grade for his performance?
A+.
Yeah.
I know Skip Bayless is going to find a way to whittle it down to a C+ or a B or something like that. So I'm saying it with my chest. A+.
Mm-hmm.
And some people might say, how you get an A+ when you don't play any defense? And I'll give it to you. Neither Dame nor the Blazers plays a lick of defense. However, when it was crunch time, when the money was on the line, Dame defended. He had 2 steals in the fourth quarter. And with a minute 12 left, he picked the pocket of Caris LeVert, who was almost as hot as Dame. That set up what turned out to be the game-sealing jump shot by CJ McCollum. Case was closed after that. Damian was tremendous. 12 points, 4 assists, those 2 steals in the fourth quarter. And he carried them early in the fourth. When it really looked like Gary Trent Jr., the spotlight was too bright for him. When CJ McCollum, who really didn't hit a 3 all night, couldn't buy a bucket early in the fourth, Dame carried him with 3 three-pointers in a 3-minute stretch, including the 40-footer from the logo. And he was hitting threes. You saw the highlight over Joe Harris in the right corner. That's impossible to hit, and he does it. It was incredible.
It's
8 of 14 from 3. 8 of 14 from 3. All right. The rest of the team is 5 of 25 from 3. So he didn't get much help last night. And then he throws in 12 assists just for good measure. A+.
Go ahead. No, you go.
I just need you to state for the court what you gave him.
I gave him a 50+.
50 pluses. Shannon Sharpe said a 50 pluses. And he capped it off with, he was so special. Okay, so Mr. Broussard, because you and my man across the table have proclaimed Damian Lillard a superstar, all caps, S-U-P-E-R, star. I then have to grade him by superstar curve and standards and measures because that's the highest order, right? There are very few superstars. So you guys go A+. I'm going B+ because I didn't see him close the deal. And this is a little known fact about last night's game. And maybe I'm the only one in the whole world who knows this fact. And now I'm going to divulge it on national TV. But would you believe that over the last 7 minutes and 12 seconds of that basketball game last night, and it was a game. It was a teeter-totter of a shootout game, back and forth and back. Can you top this? Can you do this? And 7 minutes and 12 seconds elapsed to end the game, and Damian Lillard managed to score all of 3 points, all 3 from the free throw line, 3 free throws he did not deserve. If we could see what happened with 3:19 left, that kid, Luwawa Cabarro for the Nets, who I didn't know much about, but he had a game. Whew, he can play.
Hand on the back.
Yep. Okay.
Hand on the back.
Hand on the back. It's a barely touch foul. Did he hit him on the hand? No. Did he hit him on the arm? No. Did he restrict his landing space when he came down? Absolutely not. He was behind him. He barely touched him in the back as Dame pulled up just to make sure that he didn't make body contact with him. It was a phantom foul. It was a superstar call. It was 3 gift free throws. And I just sat back and said, I guess he is a superstar because that's a James Harden-esque call. He got the 3 free throws, and to his credit, he makes his free throws unless maybe they're just 10 or 20 seconds left and he misses 2 against the Clippers. But we won't go there. We will not go there. We'll go here. Over the last 3:19, he doesn't score any points. So that's 3 undeserved free throws over 7 minutes in 12 seconds. Now let's look at what really did happen over the close of this game. And you said that Gary Trent Jr. sort of faded and the spotlight got too big for him. Man, with 2:29 left, he made a huge shot because he gave them a lead they would not relinquish. Gary Trent Jr. from the corner. Again, Dame fed him.
Okay,
it's pretty nice. That's a pretty standard point guard pass. Wide open, kaboom, he made it. You got to give him credit for making a big shot in a moment he has not experienced in his career. And then let's see what happened with 1:19 left. Dame drives and tries to take a mid-range jumper, which he's not great at. It's usually not his bread and butter.
Dame got good mid-range game.
That's fair. And there he is, and he misses that one pretty badly. But he redeems himself. To Chris's point, he does not quit on the play. He does not pout. He chases Caris LeVert, who's on his way to maybe tying the game, and just out-hustling for the basketball. Caris LeVert dribbles too high to me, and he's like a wild dribbler, and he is stealable, and he pulled off a big steal there. But then what happens? Next possession, 53 seconds left. Did Dame close the deal? No, as Chris referred to, CJ stood for clutch jumper, and he manned up. He looked like that guy. He said, well, if you can't do it, Dame, I can do it. Swish. That should have been ball game, but it wasn't because Caris LeVert had one last chance. And for a team that plays no defense, I want everybody to watch CJ McCollum's defense on Caris unstoppable LeVert on that final possession. That was some shutdown, lockdown defense because Caris LeVert wants to get in the lane. He wants to get to 8 feet, 5 feet, 4 feet. That's where he can kill you, and he would not let him by. He forced him into a step-back, fall-away jump shot that he was not wanting to take, and he took it badly because he didn't shoot it with any conviction, and he missed it badly, and that was the ball game because CJ manned up and played defense for a team that does not play much.
CJ did a great job. He tried to swipe with the right hand, and then he contested the shot with his left hand. Give CJ credit.
Okay, but final question.
Okay.
So you gave this man a 50-plus, and that man had scored 42 points to the 7-12 mark, and he scores 3 undeserved free throws the rest of the way? Really? And that's plus-plus? That's 50-pluses? I don't get it.
Chris, you see what he did? Now, CJ made one basket in the entire fourth quarter. He had 4 points. He made one basket, shot 2 free throws.
Was that not the basket?
Whoa, Skip, just a second. I didn't interrupt you. I let you have your turn. I let you flow.
I would have let you go.
No. I wanted you to go because I wanted to go behind you. Mm. Now, they're down 7 points to start the fourth quarter. Dame scores 12, dishes out these assists. Because here's the thing, what you're starting to see, Chris, with Skip, is that the only way you can be a superstar if you score the basket. So these assists, these steals that he comes up with, they had no bearing. So even though they're down 7, he's looking at CJ save Dame's bacon, just like Kyrie saved LeBron, like Ray Allen and all these other guys. Everybody saved their bacon. Mm-hmm. But what about there's no bacon to save? Mm. If I don't go out and make this money, who's bringing home the bacon for you to save it? Mm. You forgot that, Skip.
Okay. You're 3 quarters and they're 4th quarter.
All of the 3 quarters. Mm. The man had 12 points, 3 assists over the final 8, the final 4 minutes. Melo 3, Nurkic layup, Gary Trent Jr. Now, I remind you.
Wait, who had over the final 4 minutes?
Over final 4 minutes, he had 3 assists.
Oh, he had 3 assists.
Yeah. Right. The Melo 3, the Nurkic layup.
Okay.
And he passed to Gary Trent because he passed it at half court. Because the double team was coming to take the ball out of his hand.
That was a good pass.
Superstar?
Yes!
Superstar.
He is a point guard. Huh. He is supposed to get assists and pass the ball.
He is a scoring point guard. But how many point guards score 60 3 times?
Here's the thing, though, Chris. What makes him so unique is that he dropped 42, but he had 12 assists. He dropped 61, but he has 8 assists. So not only is he scoring, he's getting others involved also. Normally, there are some occasions, but rarely, a guy has that many points, but he also has 5, 6, 8, 10 assists. You look at those numbers that Dame is putting up. He's averaging 51 a game, and he's probably averaging double-digit assists. And the last 3 games they've won, a grand total of 7 points. So they need every point, every assist, every rebound that he's getting. They need that because, as you guys both said, they don't play defense. Their offense is their defense. Can you get to 140? Can you get to 135? Because we can, and we're going to see if you can match us. Skip. A 50-plus Dame. I'm thinking the Motown, Michael Jackson moonwalking in 83 at the Motown Music Award. I'm thinking that type of performance, what I saw.
I thought it was always Pavarotti the Sydney Opera House.
Virtuoso.
And Skip, really? Here's the thing, and you're right. Eventually, Gary Trent settled down, and so did CJ. But I thought what happened is that when they saw Damian taking over, that relaxed them because they looked tight. They looked tight third quarter, early fourth. And then I thought Dame taking over relaxed them and Trent hit the big shot. And, of course, CJ did as well. And here's the other thing. He did it against double teams. They were picking him up just about at half court.
Yes.
And a box and one at times. I know they played that back in Oklahoma in high school, Skip. The old-time box and one,
yep.
Which if you've ever been boxed up, it is a nightmare.
It's frustrating.
It's hard to just get the ball. Yes. So, I mean, his performance was spectacular on all fronts. And his assists were good. Remember the assist to Nurkic?
Yeah.
That three-quarter court pass to Nurkic for the lay-in.
Got it.
I mean, he was phenomenal. He was phenomenal.
There was this guy in Chicago named Jordan, and every game, everybody tried to take the ball out of his hands. Shannon Sharpe has been comparing Damian Lillard to Michael Jordan now for 3 days on this show, so I will too. Michael was never bothered by double teams, traps, boxing ones. They tried everything. He was a natural-born roll-out-of-bed scorer, and he would never go 7-12 of a fourth quarter without making a single basket.
He has.
Yes, he did.
Not in a game like this.
Yeah.
Not in a game of this magnitude.
Hold on. When we saw The Last Dance, I can't recall exactly what. I saw Jordan miss a free throw or two in the game. I was shocked. I didn't remember.
7 minutes and 12 seconds with no baskets?
You remember the Supersonics? He was 6-19, and they won their game.
Oh.
And, Skip, you can't. I'm not with the just because the superstar didn't hit the game-winning shot
or the last two or three buckets,
he didn't play well. We could bring up tape of Jordan, the GOAT, who passed off to Jim Paxson and passed off to, or John Paxson and passed off to Steve Kerr.
Had he scored over the last 7 minutes of the game? Yeah, a whole lot.
He scored three points.
Oh, yeah, he scored three undeserved points.
Not undeserved.
Yeah, phantom points, gift points.
He got fouled. The guy's on his back. That's all there is.
The guy's on his back.
Straight free throw.
Yeah.
They're trapping a man at half court.
Go right through it. Just dribble through it. Yeah. They're trapping him with two big guys.
No, they weren't. They weren't trapping no big guys.
No mercy.
The Nets went 5-3 in the bubble, including wins against the Bucks and Clippers, despite not having Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving. They also took the red-hot Blazers down to the wire last night in a 134-133 loss that came down to the last possession. So, Shannon, I start with you. After what you've seen from the Nets, should they be the favorites to win the East next season with KD and Kyrie back?
Skip, they can be special, but I just don't know how it's going to work. You got KD and Kyrie that's going to need the ball. Caris LeVert, we saw what he did, but that was out Kyrie, out KD, out Spencer Dinwiddie. Dinwiddie leaves the ball in his hand. And we saw when Kyrie went down, he was able to go for 50. But KD and Caris LeVert, they need the ball. Skip, I just don't know how all... See, these things all look together. Skip, I like ice cream. I like oxtails. I like gravy. I like bacon. I just don't like it all together.
Mm.
So I don't know how well these pieces are going to work together. Now, I do believe if you really wanted to, Skip, you probably can move Caris LeVert and get someone that's going to be more suited. Because when you look at it, you're like, man, look at B.I. Man, B.I. killer. He averaging 24 points a game. Imagine if the Lakers had that. But he can't do that with the Lakers, Skip, because you got LeBron need the ball and you got A.D. So he was able to shine as the number one guy. We saw Caris LeVert. Since he's been in the bubble, he's the number one guy. We see him shine. Spencer Dinwiddie, Kyrie goes down, we see him shine. Skip, I'm not so sure how all these pieces would work together. But you look at their roster, KD, Kyrie, LeVert, Dinwiddie, Allen, Jordan, Prince. Now, I believe they're going to lose Joe Harris. I believe they're going to lose Tyler Johnson. Joe Harris can play. Joe Harris is going to make him some on the open market field because he can flat out shoot the three. He goes with a team that has a big and is going to kick. Joe Harris is a 15 to 19 point a night score. Kyrie's injury history, Skip. He's only played 70 games one time in the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. Only played 20 games this year. Mm. Can you count on Kyrie to be healthy? Bucks Raptors are going to be tough again. If Giannis comes back, Sixers are going to only get better. I'm going to disregard it. The 76ers, Skip. Celtics will be better. 76ers, I don't know what they're going to do. But Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, they don't work together. I'm sorry, Skip. They just don't. They're unbelievable talents apart, but together they just don't work together for whatever reason. The Heat, I'm going to say if everybody comes back, let's say Giannis comes back to the Bucks and everybody, everything go, I believe the Bucks would be favored, but I would say the Nets would be number two. But I just don't see, with all these ball-dominant players on one team, I just don't see how it works. It looks good on paper, Skip. Man, you see LeBert go off last night. He went head-to-head with Dame. Dinwiddie had a 50-point game. We know what KD is. We don't know explanation offered. Kyrie, we've seen him be special more times than not. But, Skip, how does all this work together?
Mm. All of these are great problems to have. And to me, after what I saw in the bubble, when I thought I was going to see next to nothing from this team because so many players opted out, to me, the East is about to be over. When KD and Kyrie join this group, depending on how it all figures back out, mm-hmm. you have the best player on the planet in Kevin Durant. You have a true superstar guard, sort of scoring point guard.
He's more of a two than a point, but they list him as a point.
And to me, he is far more clutch than Dame is. That's just me. Well, I'm starting it. So you got those two nuclear pieces you're going to put into a team that had a bunch of players opt out, starting with Spencer Dinwiddie that you talked about.
Right.
He averaged 21 and 7 assists. What?
Yeah.
Torian Prince averaged 12 and 6. That's a nice piece to have.
Yes.
DeAndre Jordan, I know he's getting up there in years, but he averaged 8 points and 10 rebounds a game.
Yep.
Before he opted out.
Right.
Caris LeVert had games at Boston of 51, at Toronto 37, and he had two games of 34.
Had 37 last night.
That's what I'm saying. He is an explosive scorer, and I believe you could find a place for him with those other two. They would have to figure it out, but there are going to be nights that they need a third wheel, and he can be a great third wheel.
Could he be a guy like you do like a Lou Williams and maybe bring him off the bench?
Maybe.
But I don't, Skip, after the success that he's had, and everybody's, Skip, you know when you start having success, you want to, if you're a little light, you want to shine a little brighter, Skip.
Okay, maybe. But Joe Harris, if they manage to keep him, he won the three-point contest. And a year ago, he led this league in three-point shooting at 47%. And you saw last night, when he's open, it's just going
to
go down.
And the thing is, he can take it up, Skip. And don't you run at him if you want to. He put it on the floor and get to the basket.
He showed me some up-and-unders. You saw that?
Yes.
Whoa.
Yes.
Way to go, Joe.
Yes.
Okay. And then Tyler Johnson, I don't know if he's going to be on the market again or what he wants, but he is a great piece off the bench because he's played at a high level this year. He got that $50 million deal from Pat Riley. When he's open, you better look out because he is lefty draining from everywhere.
Skip, he was taking people off the dribble and shooting it.
Ooh.
He wasn't just sitting shooting set shot threes. He was taking it off the bounce.
And finally, this year, Jared Allen, who I like and respect because he plays so hard, he was 11 and 10, 11 points and 10 rebounds.
Yep.
So you had two 10-rebound average big men.
Right.
Well this is the pieces are in place.
They are. But, Skip, I'm going to be shocked if they bring – look, I'm just – somebody's going to throw a boatload of money at Joe Harris. I don't see how he comes back. Tyler Johnson, I believe he'll go also. But, Skip, I just don't know how you bring all these pieces. Skip, when you start having success, you want your own squad, or you want to go where you can be. If I'm not number one, I can be number two. Well, we already know who one and two are. That's KD and Kyrie. Okay, three, is it going to be Dinwiddie? Is it going to be LeVert? Skip, that's hard. That's hard because it's going to – another situation – I believe Trez is going to leave. Somebody's going to throw a boatload of money at Trez.
They will.
And so could you package Caris LeVert, Dinwiddie? maybe Allen for Bradley Beal?
Yeah, you could. I thought about that. So he might fit a little better.
I think that would be okay. more of an option, because a guy that can play off the ball, because he plays off the ball with John Wall.
If you can fit all those salaries, but usually in the NBA, you figure it out.
They figure it out.
Softer.
And when that guy got that kind of money, you go into luxury cap to win a title.
Yep.
Because that's what the Golden State was doing. You, normally, most teams will go into the luxury tax hell to win titles, Skip.
Yep.
It was unbeknownst to me why your team, OKC, had three MVPs right up under their nose, didn't know it, and didn't want to go $4 million into the cap.
That's all. It's just a matter of being a little cheap, just being a little... A little too cost conscious,
yeah.
Where you're trying to do it the right way, but no, you can't. You got to pay the
what
freight.
What could have been.
No, what could have been. I agree. And do not underestimate the GM of this Brooklyn team, Sean Marks,
yes.
Because he's a chip off the R.C. Buford block. R.C. Buford is still the best general manager in basketball, mm-hmm. And Sean Marks knows how to operate. And to your point you made earlier, Jock Vaughn looked...
He looked good, Skip. He had him playing hard. They 5-3 in the bubble.
Hard. Do I think that Ty Lue might be another level from Jock? Mm-hmm. Probably so.
Yes.
If you're talking about going to win a championship
next
year,
he's more accomplished.
I think he would.
Yes.
Can he handle superstars maybe better than Jock could?
Yes.
San Antonio problem.
Well, he had LeBron.
He had.
If he can deal with LeBron, he can coach
agree.
LeBron. I believe he can coach Kyrie, KD. So, Skip, look, they got great pieces.
Mm-hmm.
No question about that. Whew. And if they were somehow able to make it work, yes. But I don't believe all these pieces will come back as we see them currently. I just don't. Now, if they do, yes, I would take the Nets to be as the favorite in the East.
Mm.
But I don't believe they can bring them all back.
Mm. KD versus LeBron next year in the finals.
Oh, we gonna get us another piece, though.
Yeah, we're
gonna get us another piece.
Three times he puts it on you.
We'll get another piece. We're gonna get us another piece.
No mercy.
Friday Night SmackDown is all new every week on Fox. Tonight, the feud between Bray Wyatt and Universal champ Braun Strowman continues. Plus, a battle royal to become the number one contender for Bayley's SmackDown Women's Championship. SmackDown tonight, 8/7 Central on Fox. As Dak Prescott looks ahead to this season, there is one area that he believes the Cowboys will improve on thanks to Mike McCarthy and the new coaching staff. Dak told The Athletic, quote, "I wouldn't say that we've been as smart as we've needed to be within the game of football. I think that's what these coaches have come and added." Shannon, he normally doesn't say much, but was this a shot at Jason Garrett?
Initially, I thought it was, Skip, and then I went back and read it, and I started thinking about what he's saying. Sometimes, Skip, it's not a shot about the offense or anything like that, but how many times did we see DeMarcus Lawrence jump offside on 3rd-and-4? That's being smart, Skip.
Okay.
How many times we see a guy
on the defensive side? Okay.
How many times we get a pass interference or we get a big play, we get a big pass play, and we get a holding? That's what coach is saying. Dumb football players lose your game because you do things at the most inopportune of times. And that's where Coach Belichick prides himself when he says, "I want smart players. I want players that don't do dumb things in the most inopportune of times." Jumping off sides when it's 3rd-and-4. And giving the team a first down, that's a dumb play. That's not being smart. And so, Skip, I believe that's what Dak is talking about. Now, I could be wrong, but I believe that's what he's talking about. Now, in the West Coast system, having played in that system myself, they have a lot of checks. Yeah. So you're going to have to be on top of your game, Skip, because there's a lot of things that you're going to have to – I don't know how – well, there's going to be no crowd, though. So, Skip, you'll be able to hear all the checks. You'll be able to hear all the checks, Skip.
Wait a second. Jerry said the fans are invited.
Skip, if 50,000 fans cause that big of a noise ordinance in an 85-seat stadium, you need to be ashamed of yourself. Mm. But I don't believe everybody's going to have fans, so you should be able to hear the checks. So in that situation, Skip, I think that's what Dak's talking about. But before we anoint Mike McCarthy, he had two first-ballot Hall of Famers that combined have thrown almost 900 touchdowns. They've won 5 MVPs. So before we crown him Coach Lombardi, before we crown him Bill Walsh or Bill Belichick, can we see what he does without MVP quarterbacks? Is that a fair assessment, Skip?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's all I'm saying.
Mm. Although I think the Caesars Sportsbook has Dak Prescott as high as number 3 in this year's MVP odds.
Well, Brett Favre won 3 and Aaron Rodgers got 2.
Okay.
So I don't know how high they were at the time they won them. I just know they won them.
Okay, So I'm with you. When I first read this, I'm actually upside down from you. But when I first read it, I thought there's no way this could be a shot at Jason Garrett.
Right.
And the reason I put it in that perspective is, do you remember how Dak Prescott reacted when Jason was fired?
Right.
The first time he was publicly asked about it, he got tears in his eyes. Mm-hmm. He got a catch in his throat because he said, I wouldn't be here if not for Jason Garrett.
Right.
He said, he drafted me. Mm-hmm. Remember, they were the coaches at the Senior Bowl, and they had Dak, and they fell in love. Mm-hmm. And they fought for him, and he was an afterthought in the fourth round. But he says that Jason was the one who went to the mat for him. You have to take him. He's on the board now because we have a shot with him to go longer term with him.
Right.
And when Dak showed what he showed in place of Romo early in that 2016 season, Jason fought Jerry over
there.
I think it might be the only time he ever stood up to Jerry and said, no, it's time.
Right.
We got to cut bait here. We got to start fresh with this kid.
We can't go back to a skip. The guy at that point in time, I think Dak was 8-0. So how do you take a guy that's 8-0, that he hasn't cost us the game, he's one of the reasons we're winning the game, and go back to a guy? He said, you can't do that, Jerry.
And finally, even Tony Romo himself gave a concession speech one Tuesday. Remember, he just out of the blue said, I give up.
Right.
He's too good.
Right.
It was after the game they won at Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Okay. So that's why they were so connected at the hip, it felt like, that Jason kept Dak propped up, even when he struggled in his second year. You know, Jason was always there for him, always had his back.
Even after the middle set, just giving you, hey, we're going to get him now.
Yeah. Then I see two big quotes here from this session that he did 2 days ago, Dak Prescott. First, about Mike McCarthy. He just raved about Mike McCarthy in ways that shocked me, because it's too early to be raving this much because you haven't seen enough. You haven't even really practiced yet, right?
They ain't even put the helmet and pads on yet.
They haven't gone out. They've just been walking through. They've been playing catch, basically, right?
Basically.
Okay. So he said of Mike McCarthy, he's a very, very genuine guy. Okay. What does that say about Coach Clapp? He wasn't. And he says about Mike McCarthy, when he got up in front of the team and when he walks around the building, you feel it. Okay? When he talks, you hear it. He's saying that he's more of a leader. He's so genuine like that. He's coming through in ways Jason never can. I told you this from day one. Jason Garrett's not a natural-born leader. There's a lot of phony baloney. He's vanilla speak.
Well, Skip, the thing is, the mistake that the players knew is that Jerry controlled everything.
Okay.
And I think for the first time now, they believe Mike McCarthy is controlling things. Now, that it always starts like that, Skip, but you know at some point in time, it's going to be Jerry going to be out there, 1, 2, 3, break. So he'll be in the middle of everything. But as of now, Jerry hasn't been around. Jerry has been MIA for 109 days prior to
him speaking. From the public.
Right.
But he's been behind the scenes. He's been there.
But I think the thing is, Skip, is that, look, when you win a championship, you do come with some credentials.
I'll buy that.
And so I think that has a lot to do with it. And when they look at Jason, he won the division, three times? But he doesn't have a Super Bowl on his resume. No. Skip, that's what he got. That's all they talk about, Lombardi. And how and why he has one, he does have one. And so that carries weight. That's why Coach Belichick can say whatever. Coach Belichick said, we're going to practice at midnight tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Guys was like, hey, baby, I'm going to go sleep, take this nap, because we got practice tomorrow at midnight. When you got 6 Super Bowls, or you have those titles, Skip, it gives you a certain cachet.
Okay, but again, the Jason Garrett I came to know covering him as the backup quarterback to Troy Aikman in Dallas through the 90s, that guy is plasticky. He's cliche-ridden. He's the nicest guy you'll ever meet.
Right.
But it's wrong to lead America's team. There's no edge to him. There's no he inspires no fear in the locker room. Nobody's afraid of getting chewed out or demoted or publicly castigated.
Well, I'm going to see how many times, how long it's going to take before Jerry Jones emasculate Mike McCarthy, before he questions a call so we're going to find out, because he did that to Jason Garrett. He did that to Chan Gailey or Dave Campo. Let's see. He never did that to Parcells. Mm-hmm. He never did that to Jimmy J.
Okay, so then he goes back to how are they starting to play football under Mike McCarthy? And he goes into, he's giving all of us new knowledge, really. And we haven't played as smart as we should have. Well, I can't help but interpret that as a shot at the guy that he cried over, the guy who just a month ago, there was a report that Dak was still angry with Jerry for firing him.
Okay, well, who so Jason Garrett was throwing those picks in Buffalo? Was he the one that throwing those picks in the Saints?
Not in Buffalo. He's on Thanksgiving.
No, I'm saying, but against Buffalo? So who's jumping outside? Who's getting those pass interference? Who's getting those face mask calls?
Look, Dak Prescott, this isn't his first rodeo in Dallas. He's been there for 4 years. Mm-hmm. He knows how the game is played.
Right.
He knows how everything that comes out of his mouth will be dissected within Cowboy Nation.
Right.
Well, these are pretty blatant anti-Jason Garrett quotes to me. After I slept on it, I just said, how can it not be?
Well,
so you didn't play smart under the former coaching staff?
They didn't.
Maybe it's shots at Rod Marinelli and Chris Richard.
But Dak bears some responsibility, too. Because there are times that he didn't play smart. But we're going to see how long before Jerry Jones, the words that are coming out of Mike McCarthy's mouth, is Jerry Jones's. Because the player's going to pick up on that real quick, because that's what they knew with Jason Garrett.
Here we go.
All right, guys.
No mercy.
So the Seahawks cut undrafted rookie corner Kima Sivirand yesterday after he was caught attempting to sneak a woman into the team's hotel. An free agent rookie tried to dress her up in Seahawks gear so that she would look like a player. I can't handle this. Shannon, your reaction.
Skip, I'm going to give him an A for effort. I'm going to give him an A for creativity. I'm going to give him an F for execution.
Yeah.
I mean, when they got to the security guard, they're like, man, that's a mighty shapely man. What position you play, sir? She got a ponytail hanging out the back of a baseball cap.
Maybe.
And he thought that was a woman. But they did it right. Because what you're telling me, there was something that was more important than making this football team. So you know what I'm going to do? Pete Carroll and John Snyder said, I'm going to give you an opportunity to pursue your interest that's bigger than football. You're on your way, son.
My goodness.
Yeah.
So surveillance nailed this.
Yeah. The
surveillance tape, right? Yeah. Okay. So at first I tried to find this funny, and then we're not in funny times right now. So it's so disrespectful and such a threat to your teammates in a bubble type situation where you're all trying to stay safe so you don't have an outbreak. The season teeters on. I always tell you, the way it's come down now is you are as strong as your weakest link.
Yeah.
Well, this is a really weak.
Yeah, he was really weak at that moment.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying, man.
Yeah, and by the way, he's weak as a player, Kima Sivirand, because he's out of Oklahoma State, undrafted. He got a grand total of $2,000 to sign.
Yeah.
He's undrafted free agents.
Yeah.
Well, you just got your 15 minutes of fame for the worst possible reason in a football
contest. Why did Adam eat that apple? What did Samson tell Delilah? Boy, they strong, man. They strong.
All right, that is it.
Joy, you know it.
Skip, Shannon, have a great weekend. We're back Monday, same time, 9:30 Eastern. See you guys soon.